All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. And today I'm joined by our Ole Miss reporter, Michael Katz. Michael, how are you?
You know, it's overlap season, so there's a lot going on. There's more going on last week, and there was still some women's basketball to be played here. But now it's baseball and spring football, which spring football might as well be its own season because there are a lot of eyes on it, especially this year. But yeah, there's a lot going on. It's also peak rumor season, as you know. Also, apparently the transfer portal opens up next Monday, which I'm sure won't be weird at all. So we've got lots of fun on the way over here.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure that this kind of crossover season is a lot better than, you know, like late October, early November, where it's just kind of death for you.
It's like, what way would you rather die, right? Would you rather be like a swift one or like crushed by 1,000 boulders? We're kind of in boulder season at the moment. And I say this tongue in cheek because I do realize that in the grand scheme of things, I have a very, you know, there are a lot harder jobs out there. But there's a lot going on. But yeah, no, October, November football season does get pretty insane. But then like sometimes I realize that like, you know, my dad was like a surgeon for like 40 years. I'm like, yeah, fine. I guess his job is more serious than mine. I'll give him that.
Is this one of those things where it's if it's boulder season, is this a large boulder the size of a small boulder?
Yes. Yes. Or what was the other one? There was like something the size of a corgi I saw recently. That was a good one.
I don't know.
Because I can physically, like, I can see. My neighbor has a corgi, so like I can actually imagine that one.
But yes, Michael and I, we both write for the Daily Journal. You can see all of our coverage at djournal.com. Follow us on social at djournalsports. You can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. Michael, what's your Twitter handle?
It is at Michael L. Katz, K-A-T-Z.
Thank you. I should have that memorized, but that's on me. But yes, so I feel like spring football is just sort of a vibe season. And what are the vibes like?
Well, remember, this spring football is always your team, whatever team you follow or cover, has gotten bigger and stronger than everybody else. They've added the best athletes. It's peak gaslight season for a lot of teams. You know, everybody feels pretty good in the spring. Everybody's got hopes and dreams. But I will say, for this Ole Miss team, you know, they did a lot of work in the offseason through the portal, you know, bringing in the top-ranked transfer class that, you know, they really remade their, you know, their defensive front seven, and that was a really big point of emphasis, particularly after that loss at Georgia. That was sort of the wake-up call for, you know, listen, Ole Miss won 11-2 last year. They're really good. But, like, what's the next step? How do you compete against the best of the best? It's getting bigger and better up front. So I think that's been the biggest thing this spring, is just seeing those new guys like Princely, Imani Ellen. I'm sorry, I know you're a Florida guy. And Walter Nolan, and you know, even some of the defensive backs are just, you know, big time size, speed, you know, guys that pass the eyeball test, maybe in ways that they haven't before on the defensive side of the ball. So you know, the vibes are good. Obviously, again, expectations are really, really high when your starting quarterback comes back and everybody else comes back for the most part. I think you're feeling pretty good about things. And then add on the things that you brought in. I've only been here a few years, but everybody tells me this is about as high as expectations as Ole Miss has had in a really, really long time. And I think it's justified. This was a really good team last year that looks like it only got better.
Well, I feel like spring football is in kind of an interesting position on campus right now, because, you know, there's no sort of basketball hangover, certainly. And then the less said about the baseball team right now, the better. So I feel like it's just all eyeballs on them right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's spring football is always interesting because, like, I was told this early on in my career, and I tell people this, like, always take it with a grain of salt, what you see because there's a lot of guys who aren't participating in spring football. A lot of guys are recovering from off-season surgeries. They're dealing with stuff, and it's not worth it for them to really push it in the spring. And every spring game, I feel like there's like some random walk-on who like busts out, and everybody's like, oh, this is the next guy, and then like he never sees the field when the regular season comes. So I think spring football can be a little bit deceiving, but I think with this particular team, there's just a lot of new pieces that people are really excited for. And like you said, the baseball team being where it is, I think people are almost football provides a lot of hope right now.
Yeah, so it's just sort of like, what all are you watching for this spring?
I think that, listen, I know what Ole Miss for the most part is getting at its skill spots. Obviously, running back is going to be a little bit different since Quinshon Judkins left, but historically, Lane Kiffin's teams, all his Ole Miss teams, have figured out ways to run the ball regardless of who is back there. And having a quarterback who is experienced in the RPO game, I think is really, it's going to put them in a good spot regardless of what ends up happening back there. And I'm not sure if they're done adding. Again, the portal opens up in a few days. And oh, sorry, it's actually it's on the 18th, not the 8th. Thank goodness I have more time. I thought it was next week. Okay, phew, good. So it's and listen, when you bring back the receivers, they brought back Trey Harris, Jordan Watkins, the tight end Caden Prescorn, and you added Juice Wells, an all SEC guy from South Carolina. That's gonna look pretty good. The real questions, again, it goes back to that Georgia game. What do they look like up front? And they really rebuilt things up front. Offensive line, they brought in, a couple of guys from the University of Washington. Obviously, that was a really good offensive line this past year. They won the Joe Moore Award as the top O-line in the country. So they brought in a couple guys from there. They brought in a starter from North Carolina, Diego Pounds. They really beefed up that. Because I think, as much as the defense has been talked about in terms of needing to, get bigger, stronger, faster, I think they realized the offensive line was probably a spot where they could do that too. And then, of course, on the defensive line too, when you add Walter Nolan and Princely Moniele, you are instantly upgrading the athleticism and eyeball test part of that thing. So I think that for me, I'm really looking up front. Again, I know what Trey Harris is going to do when he's healthy. He's going to be one of the best wide receivers in the SEC. I'm really curious to see what the trenches look like for them, because I think that's, if they're going to get to where they want to be, I think that's going to play a really, really big part.
Yeah, and certainly, and kind of like you mentioned, sort of the additions of Walter Nolan and Princely Umanmielen are going to be huge on that end. That's a collection of it's part of what I saw were five of 24/7's like top 50 transfers thus far. God forbid anything crazy happens when it reopens, but I mean that's just part of the number one transfer portal haul this year, and you just kind of figure that's sort of part of doing business at Ole Miss at this point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's proof of concept for the transfer portal thing working here. This team was largely a lot of new players, and even the guys who were returners, Jackson Dart, he was a transfer from SC. So, when you can go 11-2 and build a cohesive culture with transfers, I think that's just, if you're looking for a new school, that has a really good NIL situation, that's a really big part of this right now too. Is where can you take care of yourself and your family? Ole Miss is a good fit, not just from that, but from just a football perspective. They're on the national stage. A lot of people are talking about them as a playoff team. There's gonna be a lot of eyeballs on them, and I think a lot of players want to come be a part of that right now.
Yeah, and then I feel like Ole Miss has a really kind of unique situation this spring because I just feel like especially in this day and age, like you don't get to have three springs with the same quarterback, and I think Dart is also in kind of a new position now because this time last year, he at least had to fend off, Spencer Sanders. So, for him to be the unopposed guy this year, I just think that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the first time in his career that that he hasn't had a quarterback competition. I mean, going back to his time at SC when he got there as a freshman, he was battling Keaton Slovis, who I think finally finished college after a couple more stops after his time at USC. He comes in to Ole Miss, he's battling Luke Altmyer, and then last year they bring in Spencer Sanders. So this is really the first time where it feels like there are no questions. And listen, I was. Not to toot my own horn, but I was pretty firmly on the record that Jackson was going to win that quarterback battle last year, just based on what everybody was saying and just sort of what my eyeballs told me. But I think the thing about Jackson is he doesn't change, regardless of what the circumstances. He's still the same guy day in, day out. He's the chip on the shoulder type guy. That's always him. And it doesn't matter, if he's a dark horse Heisman candidate or whatever you want to call it. He's still gonna approach it the same way. But when you have a quarterback, it really kind of changes everything in the way that nationally your team is perceived.
Especially in a year where so much of the, I guess, kind of buzz right now is about where all these quarterbacks are going to go in the draft this year. And so you start looking around the college football landscape for next year, and you figure that Dart is pretty high up there on returning quarterbacks just because it doesn't seem like there are that many of them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you've got a lot of people talk about Carson Beck is a big one that people talk about at Georgia, obviously. Quinn Ewers being back at Texas. A lot of people really like Shedeur Sanders. I think he's a really nice player. I just don't know if Colorado is going to be good enough for it to really matter. Those are all guys, but Jackson Dart, based on if you're thinking about his trajectory of where he started when he got here and where he got last year. And when he's got all those pieces coming back, where you expect him to be, he's not only going to put up, I think, really good numbers, but he's going to be part of a team that's really, really good and is in the hunt. And I think that's all that's a recipe for really good things happening, for award season. It's the Heisman's a quarterback award these days, unless you are, Devontae Smith and you catch 20 whatever touchdowns it was that one year. But I think if Jackson has the sort of season that I think most of us think he can have, just to have kind of watched him over the last few years, he's going to be in those conversations.
Just to kind of remind, or just to kind of like run through what kind of Ole Miss did last year, kind of historically. First 11-win season last year, going 11-2. The first New Year's Six win since 2015, and really, it just sort of feels like this is the first real sign of, I don't want to say building, because that was kind of originally what I outlined, but I feel like it is sort of the first real sign of momentum. And it's going to be a big year for Lane Kiffin here, heading into year five.
Yeah, so I mean, after 2020, which was his first year, I mean, that was the COVID year, so it was all a little wonky, but they finished really strong. And so I think expectations were like reasonably high for that 2021 season. That was my first season, 2021. Obviously, they go to the Sugar Bowl. But then a really big part of that team left. And I think, yeah, they added a lot of pieces in the transfer portal, but losing Matt Corral, I think, kind of made the expectations a little bit more realistic. And I know they started off really well in 2022, but they did not end very well that year. So I think even going into the year was, I won't say it was a rebuild. Again, they brought in a really good transfer portal class that year. It kind of feels like I think people understood that there's a good chance it wasn't going to be another New Year's Six team. But then with this team doing what it did last year, I think the expectation is that, like, this team, why shouldn't it be better? I mean, if you look at the schedule, and I hate playing the schedule game because you can lose any game in the SEC on the road, on any given Saturday. But you know, the things line up. They get Georgia. I say they get Georgia at home. They have Oklahoma at home. You know, it's the thing. Everything is lining up. And again, when you bring back the pieces they brought back, and based on the success they had last year, you know, I don't think it's playoff or bust. I don't, you know, that's not for me to decide, but I think the expectation, if you look around the country, and probably, you know, if you do hear from people, is that this team should be in the hunt for an SEC title, and for that 12-team playoff. I don't think there's really, I don't think they think there's any excuse. They have every possible piece, especially with these transfers they brought in.
Yeah, no, just kind of the way that the SEC schedule has broken out for this year and effectively next year with them just flipping it. Because apparently nobody can make a decision on how many games to play and whatever. And so they just continue to kick that can down the road. But it's just sort of funny because you've got, you know, Billy Napier fighting for his life at Florida with, you know, just drowning in quality opponents every week. And you know, meanwhile, you know, Lane Kiffin just gets, you know, Oklahoma and Georgia both at home. Their two biggest games of the year are at home. And you know, you just get like Kentucky and South Carolina on the schedule there too. And you know, it's just, I mean, look, the non-conference schedule this year is not good. But certainly, I think if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're feeling pretty good about the way things are playing out on that end.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you don't have Auburn or Alabama either, and those are always two very weird games for a lot of different reasons. You don't have them this year. Yes, you do have LSU on the road, but luckily for Ole Miss, Jaden Daniels is no longer there because he had two extremely good games against Ole Miss. You know, when 1-1, obviously last year's game was absurd, but you know, they're going through a little bit of a transition too. Granted, I think LSU is always going to be really, really tough at home. That is it's an insane place to play. But yeah, I mean, listen, if you're playing the horoscopes, everything has lined up that like the schedules is manageable by SEC standards. You have all of these guys coming back. You have a coach who, you know, for the first time, it seems like there wasn't really any off-season flirtation with any other jobs. That always seems to be something we talk about every November. That this has all been very focused on this team, and this year. And I think they understand the opportunity at hand.
Yeah, and then the SEC is just in sort of a fascinating position right now where, you know, I think part of the thing about building a team that you just can't really control is sometimes you just need really good timing. Sometimes you just need a year where things are down or a specific team is down or just something, right? And it's going to be really interesting this year because, well, first off, you don't have to deal with, you know, the Thunderdome that is the SEC West anymore because it's just a giant free for all now. And second, you don't have the giant Saban specter looming over everything anymore.
Yeah, how crazy is that? That like, listen, Kalen DeBoer, I think he's a spectacular coach. I have seen this firsthand as a USC guy. What he is able to do, you know, what he did at Washington in a short period of time was insane. But you know, it's very different from Nick Saban. And Nick Saban did this for 17 years or whatever the heck it was. You know, as good as a coach of Kalen DeBoer is, there are some growing pains, and not only do you not have to face them. But you know, maybe they are quote unquote down. Maybe they lose a couple games, which is something that was sort of unfathomable for Bama for a few years. If they lost two games, it was everybody wanted a new coordinators for several years, and which is again insane to think about. But yeah, it is a bit of a transition period in the SEC. You know, and you know, obviously Jimbo Fisher is gone. That's a transitional thing, and they lost a lot of their talent. There are a lot of moving parts, whether it's new coaches or new quarterbacks or all those sort of things. I think Ole Miss having that consistency is a really, really big advantage.
Yeah, and then you know, I just think it'll be interesting to see how all this prep work is going to be done this year. Just Because you just never see these years for Ole Miss where they're like the prohibitive favorite to be the like non-playoff team that makes the playoffs. Oh, and by the way, it's bigger now this year too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I when Ole Miss baseball won the national title a couple of years ago, I had people tell me that like this doesn't happen to Ole Miss. Like these sorts of things don't traditionally happen. Like it's always like, okay, when's the next bad thing going to happen? You know, how is this going to fall apart? And you know, Ole Miss has had really good pockets of success in all of its sports, but sustained success has been sort of rare. And you know, it's we I don't know how this season goes. It's impossible to say, but I think that like this is you know when you know if you had said you know at the end of you know before Lane got here the Matt Luke era, you know it was probably of okay like when can we get the season over? Let's just get through this. You know, it's something bad is going to happen, which it often did, of course, culminating in the you know that Egg Bowl where someone peed like a dog on the field. But like really, like since then, it's been like a very serious program, Ole Miss football, and I think that I think people understand that like now, like it's not poor Ole Miss, like it's like Ole Miss like feels like it's a big dog right now, which is it's a little bit of a different spot, I think, and I think it's a spot they're excited to be in.
Have you noticed anything just like different about what they do at spring practices lately?
You know, it's crazy because like the great thing about like Lane and like he's very regimented. And I'm sure that's a Saban thing. Like you consistency is so big. But like I know like when certain songs play. What like the next part of practice is going to be like, and that has not changed from like last fall to like you know when we saw them during the season to spring. Like it always seems like it's pretty similar stuff. And I think that's I think that could that, again that consistency and the just knowing that what you do works is has been really important. And again, when you have so many new guys, like they do, and of course, you know, they're guys who have played a lot of college football, but they haven't played college football here. They are getting used to some things, and you know, you're installing new schemes or the scheme new schemes for those guys. But for the most part, I think like what you see right now, obviously they're not, you know, they're not hitting as hard, and you know, there's a lot of two-hand touch out there. But I think that like what you see like now, at least what we see, and you know, we don't get to watch all of practice. But a lot of it looks the same as it would any other time of year. And I think that's really important for them.
Yeah, gotcha. I just didn't know if, I don't know if it was time to be more serious and start, you know, doing things more intensely or something, you know. But, you know, it's got to be at least a little bit nicer to be doing it this time of year than, you know, July or August.
Well, yeah, and you know the indoor practice facilities really come in clutch. Yesterday, it started out outside, and it maybe lasted 8 minutes before the thunder started thundering, and the rain started raining. So the players ran in first, and then we all ran in too. But yeah, no. Listen, it's what's 58 degrees here right now. I will take that any day over 400 degrees with 300% humidity that we're about to get in August.
Plus, you know, you had another Juice Kiffin sighting for the first time in several months, so I'm
Yes.
sure that's a big perk.
Yeah, I had not seen the legend in a while. And all of a sudden, I mean, the first thing I always notice is the dogs. That's sort of my thing. So just like we're watching like warm-ups and stuff. And out of the corner of my eye, I see him, and I'm just like Juice is here, like to no one in particular. You know, I don't know if he knows how much I how highly I think of him. I think highly of every dog. But you know, Juice is. Juice, I'm sure that he's going to be getting some, you know, I don't know if he's practicing his tee fetching yet, but, you know, he's going to have some opportunities on the national stage this year. So, you know, maybe he's getting some practice in too.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but he got an honorary Juris Doctor degree today. So,
Goodness. Like that dog's probably got more degrees than I do.
Which is just a brutal play on words there.
It is. Also, I don't know if you saw, but I think on maybe it's the day before Easter, he had Easter bunny ears placed on him. Obviously, he did not put them on there. He can't, and I don't know if he would have wanted them anyway. But Lane tweeted in all caps, "Don't ever do this to him again." And first, I laughed so hard because it was just so absurd. So yeah, that's one of the things that they'll miss is as good as this program is, and like as good as this team is, there are some light moments when, Lane is liable to say some stuff that gets people talking, and then there's the dog wearing Easter bunny ears and getting dog tourettes. There's never a dull moment in Oxford. I can safely say that.
I was going to say, most normal SEC team.
Oh, yes. It's well, when you've got assistants, being on The Bachelorette, and then all that, and it's just so there's truly always something, and it's good for business. I'll say that.
I'll say that it's been quite the year for former, or at least like people affiliated with Ole Miss, to end up on reality shows.
Yes, yeah, we got Survivor as well. The crazy thing is too, like Lane had like an FAU player that's also on The Bachelorette. So like apparently if you just like come join the receiving corps at Ole Miss, you've got a chance to be on The Bachelorette. And I don't know if that's gonna be a selling point for a lot of transfers or whatever, but it's a big enough sample size that I'm just saying. Two is more than zero.
Yeah, so we'll have to see. I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
I'm just I can't believe I'm gonna have to watch The Bachelorette. I've been like reckoning with that a little bit. That's listen, I watch some trashy television, don't get me wrong. I watch Love is Blind. I watch that sort of stuff. But The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is not one I've ever ventured into. And so my girlfriend has been very helpful in helping me figure out the logistics here of what this all means, where they're at in the process, what the prior histories are, what this means. So yeah, I guess I'm going to be like a lot of people in Oxford watching the show. I'm going to be one of them, and I don't think I'm generally their demographic, but here we are.
Yeah, I will say from previous experience, I've only ever watched like part of a season, but it's more so like at the end of every episode, you just sit there going, I hated that. And I will be here next week, no matter what.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly. Like you came back, you hated every second of it, and you had a lot of self-loathing, but you were there. And that's me with Love is Blind. I've been watching it in like small segments because I just I can't do that. It's too trashy to take in all at once, but in small doses I can handle it. I can really only do like one show like that at a time, so I plan on being done with Love is Blind by I guess June or whenever The Bachelorette comes out, and then I guess I can I can watch that one live with the rest of America and Jesse Palmer and it always comes back to the SEC though, doesn't it? Jesse Palmer. I mean, it's this it means more.
Yeah, no, Survivor is about all I can handle, so I'll keep you updated on how that one goes.
I watched the
But
very first season of Survivor back in like I don't know if you were born yet. I guess it was like two
was right after I was
I it was probably 2000.
season one was 2000. I was born in 99, so.
Okay, yeah, so again, probably don't remember that one. I remember watching that with my family. I don't know if I've watched it since. But it's making if Ole Miss is involved, I think I'm contractually obligated to maybe pay a little bit more attention.
But yeah, so anyway, Michael, thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate when you have time to come join us here. Once again, you can find Michael on Twitter at Michael L. Katz. You can find me on Twitter at BFerrell727. And if you want more of our Ole Miss or Mississippi State coverage, check out our lineup of newsletters at djournal.com/newsletters. And if you want to join the conversation with other fans, check out our Mississippi State sports discussion or Ole Miss sports discussion groups on Facebook. And once again, thank you for listening and have a good one.